did everyone just sit on this side today? It's like, there's no one in the middle. It's like, remember when we used to have an aisle down the center and like, it was always random. One week it'd be everyone on one side, the next week everyone would be on the others. So bizarre. We just put them all the chairs together. Oh my goodness. Are you guys okay if I open up this door so we can smell some barbecue? What's going on? Can we do that? Yeah, Jay, you want to open up that? Oh, today is if you're listening on the podcast, you are missing out. You should come to church next time we got a church barbecue. Fire. Fire can be devastating and deadly. It can also be a tool for cooking. I had this idea. The devil wants to show up in our lives with fires to steal, kill, and destroy. But God wants to redeem those fires into barbecues. Next time the enemy comes your way, laughing and smiling and rubbing your face that fires are happening, just smile and say, you know what? What used to fear me now is going to make me happy and excited and ability to share with others. The best part of a barbecue is sharing it with other people. It smells so good. I'm so distracted. Oh, man. The storms and fires we're going through, God wants to turn into praise and celebration and sharing with others. That's kind of the concept of today. That's the idea of this message. How do we turn those things around that really are there to hurt us, harm us, prevent us from moving forward? How do we turn those around and just rub it in the devil's face? It's like, you know what? You wanted to take me out, but now I'm going to take my friends out to lunch on you, you know? So how do we make sure we don't get hurt when the enemy shows up to burn us? How do we partner with God to redeem that fire? It's kind of the idea. That's kind of the concept. Are we victims or are we victors? Not just victor as in the name, but victor as in victory. There are lots of barbecue stories in the Bible. Lots of times things go on fire and people eat, but today we're doing a little bit different type of barbecue from the Bible, found in Daniel chapter 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Thanks, Janelle, for laughing on that one. It's a little ironic, but it's going to suit our purpose for today. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now that you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Their response is kind of interesting. They knew what to say, they knew what to do, and they knew what to think. It's not just a happenstance that they were able to defend themselves immediately when a fire came across them, but they had prepared for something like this. Point number one, prepare for purpose. there's a preparation that goes into having a moment like this. We've been talking about it all sermon series. It's the comma moment. It's a moment that you intentionally pause in life and spend time with God. It's in these moments that God prepares you and sets you up for when fires and trials happen. It's not just like you're going to show up one day and you're going to ace a test that you've never studied for. You know, sometimes we have in school, just by the grace of God. But typically, you need to prep and you need to study. Those are the comma moments. Those are the moments we spend with God intentionally before fires happen. You need to be ready for what is going to happen throughout your life. Prepare for worship. I like it. They did three things well. They didn't worship the other gods, says in the scripture. They didn't serve the other gods. And they didn't say something stupid when it was time to speak. Okay, can we just be real? When fires and tests happen, the biggest thing that can get us into trouble is sometimes our mouths, right? Because we don't think ahead of time. We just say what's on our mind. And it's just all kinds of stupid, right? We need to take those moments to prepare for what we're going to say. Because typically, we only get one shot to say what we need to say. So, this whole sermon series has been about spending intentional time with God. That's what the comma stands for. Like in a sentence, it's that little break. It's that intentional pause. It's also an indicator of more to come. Have you spent intentional time with God? The Bible doesn't say God's going to protect you from every single test and trial so that you can live a kumbaya kind of peaceful life. The Bible says when you face tests and trials. It's a when. It's not an if. It's a it's coming. Are you prepared? Have you spent time with God? Prepare for a purpose. So you didn't worship. They didn't serve. One of the first things it says, they didn't serve. So A, your energy. How do you prepare? Well, how do you have a common moment with God? Your energy. Evaluate where your energy is going. Is all your energy going to things in your life that it doesn't really need to be going to? Wasteful moments. Times that you put all this energy towards one thing that's not really fruitful, but then when the critical moments happen, you're too tired to even do it. Your energy, what you serve, says Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not serve what this other guy put before them. In your life, evaluate what are you serving? What are you serving? What aspects, what areas are you serving that really you don't need to be? Do a time evaluation of your life, your energy. Remember the quote from the women's conference? I was not at the women's conference, but my wife brought notes back so I could experience a women's conference. The enemy is after your fruitfulness, and one of the best ways to get your fruitfulness is to steal your energy away. Because if you are too tired, you will make mistakes, and you will not be able to complete your purpose and mission on this planet. B. It says that they did not worship. B is your heart. Your heart. Your heart. So what does worshiping look like in this story? It's really whatever you put on a pedestal above anything above God. You know what? I really should be spending time with God today, but this new Netflix show just dropped, and I just need to catch up on all 10 episodes before anything else. I mean, it's only like 10 hours, and I could spend my 5 minutes with God tomorrow. You know, what's on a pedestal before God? Your heart. It says that they were able to stand strong because of their heart was ready. When the enemy comes with fires and tests and trials, is your heart prepared to withstand it? Or are other things sitting on a pedestal above distracting us from what really is coming that we need to stand firm against? Baby Anthony's just like locking eyes with me right now. He's like, C, prepare for it. C is what you say. What you say. There is power of life and death held within the tongue. Just check out James 3, right? Yeah? Okay. Bible check. James 3. Power of life and death held within the tongue. What you say is critical. What you say. See, the enemy wants to throw these trials and tests and these fires at you so that you get tired, worn down, and you start putting other things that you think is the more important only to get you to say something stupid to derail you and others. It's not just good enough to take you down. The enemy's after you and one, right? He wants to make reservations for more, for party of however many are in that room. Because if you can mess up and you say something stupid, you'll drag other people with you. That's what the enemy's after. It's after you and others. What you say is critical. Proverbs 18:21. Is that what it is? Thank you. I was in the wrong part. It's in there. Daniel chapter 3, 19 through 23. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Because people that have gained a little bit of power and are insecure, sometimes when they're over us, can get furious when they don't like to hear what they don't like to hear. And his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men were wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Number 2. I love how the Holy Spirit works things together. During worship, one of the most critical aspects of today's worship was, I'm no longer a slave to fear, and the second point is actually has dealing with fear. Number 2, protection from fear. When we take an intentional comma with God, he gives us protection from fear. This is illustrated by the 3 things that are happening in the story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A, fire. Fire. The fire in this story illustrates and represents, it really does, hell. Do you know how many people are so afraid of, well, what happens after life? Where am I going to go? Am I going to heaven? Am I going to hell? Do you know how many people that weighs on their mind for their entire life? There is a fear from it. And the way to combat that is to spend time with God intentionally, saying, God, would you speak to me? I believe in you. I believe I'm going to heaven. I believe that you rose from the grave. When you take intentional time with God, he gives you that protection from hell. You're going to heaven. B, ropes. It wasn't just good enough that they were going to be thrown into a giant furnace that was on fire, that was heated, 7 times hotter than usual? They had to be bound up? Like, really? Isn't that a little overkill? Couldn't you just shove them? Like, that's, like, at what point were you like, they might escape the fire. Like, I don't know. It's just, I picture these elaborate scenarios in my head. I watch it like a movie. Or VeggieTales, whatever. Ropes. The ropes that bound them represent a life on earth being bound up from sin, from guilt, from fear of what if, fear of rejection, anything that would hold you back from seeing the kingdom advance. Have you ever been like You know, when you play, have you ever played Cops and Robbers, or is that just like, is that me? Like, have you ever had like your hands tied up? Yeah. It's almost like you can't, you just can't, you're not as mobile. You can't do what you're supposed to be doing, right? You're immobilized. All you can do is either struggle to get out or wait till someone else unties you. You can't go about your day cooking meals, preparing. Like, you can't just hop in the car tied up and drive somewhere. That'd be very difficult, right? You can't go to work like that. But in reality, when we've been tied up in bondage of guilt and sin and fear of what if, we're incapacitated in advancing the kingdom of God. It's that fear that holds us back. It's that fear that prevents us. That fear. But when we take a comma moment with God, when we step back from God and say, God, I want to take a break from my life and listen to you right now. I want to hear from you, Lord. All of a sudden, those bondages start coming off. The fear of all these different things, these fear of sin and fear of guilt and fear, all these things just start falling off so that we can live our life fully. And see, I don't know if you caught in verse 23, it says, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. The third one is falling. It wasn't that they were, I don't know. I guess in my mind, I always imagine like a pizza server, like they were put, you know, I don't know. That's just how I always imagined as a kid. Like they were on a pizza thing and they were like in a brick oven. I don't know. That's just what, as a kid, that's what you have, you know? But they were on a pedestal and pushed off like a pirate's plank and they fell. They fell. There was falling involved. The falling represents failure. Failure. Most people will not attempt their purpose. Most people will not attempt anything because of the fear of failure. They are so afraid to even do it that they would rather not do it at all and just fail immediately. I'd rather just take an F off the bat rather than trying and finding out I get an F later on. I think it's kind of silly, you know? What's that most famous quote? It's like, I don't even know how to say it, but it's like, never mind. You guys said it, you talked at the exact same, not that one. No, it's like, we could talk about it during the barbecue, I guess. But it's like, you'll fail 100% of the things you don't try or something like that. I don't know how they.
You'll miss all the shots you
don't. Yes. Okay, say it again.
You'll miss all the shots you don't
take. You'll miss all the shots you don't take. Okay. Getting back on track now. It was gonna drive me nuts the rest of the sermon. Falling represents the fear of failing. In today's day and age, so many people won't even try because they're so afraid of failure. They've had a bad experience. Things have gone wrong in their life. They had a dream and someone popped their bubble, whatever it might be. Typically, it stems from being a child and there was bullying or teasing or something a parent said or something a loved one said. Fear of failure. When we intentionally pause with God, when we intentionally take time to have a comma moment with God, he deals with our fear of failure. He removes it. Because in reality, you start to learn that when God calls you to do something, it's not you that's failing. It might be something else that's going on. You're planting a seed. There's infinite things that God is doing behind the scenes, and he's asking you to step up and swing. And if you miss a ball, that's fine because you're there at the plate and God's doing something that you might not even know about. Going back to the story, Daniel chapter 3, 24 through 30. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors. I'm picturing the giant cucumber talking in VeggieTales. If you're, has anyone seen that? That's the child, yeah, the giant dog. That was like on loop at our house with London for like a solid week, and then she just never turned it on again. It was so weird. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble." Harsh. "For no other God can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Number three, promise of God. Promise of God. So when we're faithful to having a comma moment with God, he shows up in a mighty way. He shows up and he takes care of our fear. He shows up and takes care of all the other things going in our life. He speaks to us. He deals with where we're at, but he always moves us forward into our life. Here's some of the promises that I pulled out of the scripture from God. Promise of God. A, platform. Platform. I think it's interesting to say that Nebuchadnezzar okay. Yeah, Pat, can you go check on that? Thanks. I think it's interesting to say Nebuchadnezzar didn't just say, you know, let them go, but he said, come out and come here. Right? Come out, come here. Because God will open up platforms when we have faith and trust in him. God will platform us when we make it through the fires. God will platform us when people will go, you know what, that was unexpected. You were riddled with cancer and disease and you're still alive? That doesn't make any sense to me. How could that even be possible? Well, let me tell you. God will platform you through the miraculous. God will platform you whenever things are going wrong and there's a fire that turns around. See what was intended by the devil to come in and burn you up? You can laugh because now it's a barbecue. People are invited to celebrate with you. That's the concept of today's message. B, promises of God, protection. Protection. You have a divine protection over your life. You really do. You have a divine protection. Things that are intended to kill you, things that are intended to kill you, harm you, hurt you, all of that can be redeemed by the grace and mercy of God. It really can. There is protection over your life. I heard a story about, so in my ancestry, and Pat knows these stories too, our grandparents on up have We all have crazy stories, you know, that you hear coming down, like, that happened to a family member? How are they all still alive, you know? I remember my mom's grandma, she grew up in the Depression, and I remember she told us a story when she was still alive, crazy story. She had a birth complication right before my mom, and couldn't really go to the doctor. It's a Great Depression. So this is a little graphic. I'll try to not make it as graphic, but I just want to share protection stories. She had to figure out some way to deal with this complicated pregnancy. And so she met some random guy, her and her husband, and she said in an alleyway, they helped get rid of the baby and said, you'll never have another baby ever again because of this. Well, my mom miraculously came to be born after that. Things like that, they're crazy. My grandpa on my dad's side has these crazy stories of protection. He was in the war, and he was in a boat, and he was taking the sergeant, all these guys, and he was dropping them off, and he had to go tie up the boat. And he left his helmet, and he ran over to go tie it. And just as he was about to tie it, he goes, oh, I should go back to get the helmet. He goes, no, it's okay. I'll ask for forgiveness later. And he stayed put to tie up the boat, and all of a sudden an aircraft flew over and killed everyone on the boat. And so then he just sat down and goes, I guess I'll sit here and wait till I get rescued. Crazy stories. There are miraculous protection moments over our lives all the time. Sometimes we can see them, sometimes we can't. But God's protection is with us always. I remember when we were growing up at Evergreen Christian Center, we had a Wednesday night Bible study, and there was a couple in the family. It was during summertime, and they came to the Bible study before they were going to go on a two-week road trip. And they're like, we just want to go to Bible study and just start our road trip off, you know, with Jesus. So they came, and the pastor goes, you know what? I want to pray over you guys for protection. And everyone prayed over them, and then they left the parking lot, and three blocks down had a major accident, completely totaled their camper, completely totaled the other car, and everyone in the car got out perfectly fine. And the ambulance driver goes, I don't know how you made it. I don't know how you're all alive, but you're unhurt. They came back to the church, the pastor was still there, and said, if you didn't pray for us, I think we would have all died. God's protection is over us. God's protection. We take those moments with God. He brings protection over our lives. And C, promotion. Promotion. Listen to verse 29 again. Sorry, verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Then the king promoted. There's a promotion that happens when we take comma moments with God. A promotion. What does that mean? That there's favor on our lives. Do you know what promotion stands for oftentimes, and in this case what this means? They have the privilege of being over other lives. That's what's happening here, promotion. They're placed in charge of making sure that people that are under them know the right things and are moving forward in their lives. There's promotion. So I want to share the title of the message at the very end of the message, which is usually not what you're supposed to do, but it's called Oxford, comma. Oxford, comma. If you want to write that on your notes. This is kind of an ambiguous title for this sermon, but here's what it really relates to. An Oxford comma is when there's a list of commas. It's, I went to a barbecue that had pizza, drinks, sausage, and chicken. Sorry, I should have thought that through better. But there's commas in between each one, and there's a possibility of adding a comma before the and on the last one. There's a possibility of it. That's what the Oxford comma is. This is David's favorite comma in all the commas. It really is. I've heard more about the Oxford comma than anything else. Punctuation. The Oxford comma. I like it because there's a possibility of an extra comma. Just let that sink in. There's a possibility of an extra comma. See, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had their comma moments with God, God intentionally preserved them and saved them so that there would be a potential extra comma moment for the king and for the people they got promoted over. That's what's happening in this sermon. The Oxford comma, the possibility of another comma moment. See, when we intentionally take commas, not only do we have a comma moment with God, and when the enemy shows up to steal, kill, and destroy from us, we are prepared for it, and we turn it around and laugh in his face because we set up for another comma moment for someone else to come alongside. That's the whole concept of this message. Have you prepared for what God will redeem into a barbecue? Have you prepared for what God is going to do? Nakia is just laughing inside right now. The barbecue moment, if you will. See what the enemy is trying to do in your life to destroy you? God's trying to do to turn around as a celebration because other people come to know him through you and what you're going through and what you went through. God loves you and everyone around you too much to let the enemy do something stupid to you. But it all starts because you're prepared for it. Prepared for it. Let's pray.